May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, I'm going to try to figure out if I should use this or my regular talking voice. If you think I should use the microphone, raise your hand. If you think I should use your regular talking voice, raise your hand. Okay. Sorry. Well, I'm going to use my regular talking voice. Is this okay? We good? What?
This is what
they voted for. They voted for it. I'm just going to have to talk a little slower. Judge, you can hear me? Sally? Bill? I think he can hear me. All right. Well, today seems to be all about endings or new beginnings, depending on your point of view. In a few minutes, we are going to send our graduating seniors off with a blessing and a Bible of all things to make the next of life's, as they make the next of life's many transitions. We just marked the end of our Sunday school year with our first ever Sunday school Olympics. Congratulations to the kids team for bringing home the world's smallest trophy. Following the church service, we're going to have our end of the year cookout. And if I didn't know better, I'd ask Mike to play Good Riddance by Green Day on the piano right now. I think that's just for my generation. Two of our scripture lessons for today point to various endings. John's gospel includes a part of Jesus' farewell discourse. He is preparing his followers for his death. He's giving them marching orders on what to do after he has died and risen and has ascended into heaven. He tells them to love others like he has loved them. Even more, he says, in order for your witness to be credible, you need to know what it is like to love each other. And that's a lot of what our vision statement here at Ascension is all about. Before we can witness to God's love in the world out there, we need to learn what it means to love each other in here, which hopefully spills out into the world around us. Our lesson from Revelation begins the final scene in God's salvation project, as revealed in Scripture. The big moment is finally here. Now that evil is gone from this world once and for all, God can finally dwell among his people and dry the tears of those who weep. Death will be no more. Speaking of endings, this passage from Revelation is also a common lesson chosen for a funeral service. The burial liturgy ultimately reminds us that death is not the end of life. Instead, death is the gateway to new life. In death, life is changed, not ended. Just because we can't see what lies beyond the horizon doesn't mean there isn't something to hope for. God knows we need help trusting that there is new and abundant life over the horizon. Left to our own devices, we often think doom and gloom. But the good news of Christ's resurrection from the dead says that in Jesus, we are given reason to trust that new and abundant life lies ahead. There's no such thing as a dead end with a life lived in Christ. The scriptures and Jesus himself remind us that there is only death and resurrection, death and resurrection. Death and resurrection is the pattern of our life with God. Even though life is a series of deaths and resurrections, of changes and transitions all the time, we human beings still have a hard time letting go of one thing before embracing the next, even when the current life isn't going so well, and especially if the current life is going well. Change and transition is always hard, no matter how necessary a change or transition might be. However, change and transmission is the means by which God helps us grow in Christ. More simply, we grow through death and resurrection. Like our burial liturgy, our baptismal liturgy testifies to this truth of spiritual growth that comes through death and resurrection. When we baptize Asher here in just a minute, I'm going to say some prayers over the water. And when I say those prayers, I'm going to say, in the waters of baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death. By the waters of baptism, we share in his resurrection. So again, baptism is all about being initiated into Christ's death and resurrection. So while baptism is typically seen of as a beginning of something new, our new life in God, our initiation into the household of God, Asher is going to be our newest member in a minute. Baptism is also about shedding the old life. The waters of baptism serve as a portal between this life and the next. In baptism, we become citizens of heaven and aliens in a strange land. The strange land is earth. And the more we embrace our citizenship in heaven, the stranger this land is going to look or should look. In the end, there's no such thing as dual citizenship when we sign up for life in the kingdom of heaven. Our baptismal vows call us to put service to Christ the King above all else, even and especially when service to Christ the King puts us at odds with the rulers of this world. The only one whose reputation is worth defending is the one without sin, Jesus, our Lord, our King. During times of change and transition, we must necessarily become uprooted before we can put down new roots. And this process of being uprooted naturally leaves us feeling vulnerable and exposed and insecure. Transition tends to make us more sensitive to the comments or actions of others. So the big challenge for us during these times of transition is to keep our eye on the one who is risen from the dead so we can deal with these little deaths and resurrections. Now, one of the many gifts of the Episcopal Church is that we do liturgy well. We have all kinds of resources that help individuals and communities see how God is helping us through these periods of death and resurrection. They help keep hope alive when life over the horizon seems dim or uncertain. There's one publication called Changes that honors all kinds of transitions between life and death. The publication includes prayers for learning to ride a bike, for going away to camp, for when a friend moves away, for healing after a divorce, for getting a job. There are also prayers for retirement and for becoming a grandparent, all sorts of things. The intent of such liturgies is to give us a frame of reference in the midst of uncertainty. They help us keep God at the center of our life when everything else seems to be swirling. These rites call us to name the impact that transition will have in our own lives and the community around us. They help us grieve. They help us let go. They help us give thanks for what went before. They also help us ask for help. What do we need from God to get through the natural turbulence that comes with transition? Finally, the rites help us remember that even when we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. In other words, these rites of passage give us hope to meet the days ahead with confidence in God's abiding and everlasting love. There is nowhere you can go where God is not. You are never alone, despite how it feels sometimes. In this mortal world we live in, we are conditioned to believe that opportunities to grow and thrive diminish after a certain point. After you turn 33, it's all down hill, right? We go from here to here. That's sort of how we think about it in this mortal life. But the kingdom of God is telling us something different. Opportunities for growth never end when we live in Christ. In fact, it goes like this. Opportunities for growth keep on getting bigger and bigger and expand. Going back to our burial service again, one of the prayers that we sometimes say prays for the deceased, saying, grant that they may go from strength to strength in perfect service. So the life of service continues even after we transition into the next life. St. Paul says it like this: though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed daily. Whether you are graduating from high school or becoming an empty nester or learning to ride a bike or becoming a godparent or grandparent, we all stand on some kind of threshold. On some level, we are always in a place where a part of us is dying while another part of us is being made new. The same assumptions that got us here today might not be the same assumptions that get us to where we are going tomorrow. So we must never stop learning and listening from God, the one who is making things new in Christ. As we grow and adapt to a confusing and changing world, there is one thing that will never change. There is one assumption that we can always count on. And that is the truth, God with us. Today's lesson from Revelation reminds us of God's ultimate desire. That is to live and dwell among us. The final act of God's salvation project will see God make a home among mortals, to dwell among us, so that we may know once and for all the healing and hope we have in Christ. Now, as citizens of heaven, by virtue of our baptism, we don't have to watch the next 1,000 episodes before we get to the series finale. We get a sneak peek of that reality today with a life lived with and in Christ. I hope and pray that the sneak peek of that reality we have in Christ gives you the confidence to meet whatever change awaits with the hope and joyful expectation that comes with believing in the gospel. So against all odds, today and every day, the Lord gives us permission to say, the best is yet to come. Amen.